Catamount Insider, keep going here with some alumni interviews. I'm Michael Lear, now joined by a student-athlete from the class of 2014, our first track and field alum that we've had, Nika Ouellette. So, Nika, thanks so much for joining us. You were just telling me a little bit about what you're up to, and I'm excited to hear more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So can you catch everybody up? I guess it's been a while. It's been like 6 years or so since you left UVM. Can you tell everybody what you've been up to since graduating and competing professionally and to where you're at now?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for dating me on that one. I appreciate it. So I graduated in 2014. And I had turned down a job in my field, which was environmental studies, because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. So without kind of any real plan, I moved down to Washington, D.C. To be near friends and kind of in a new city, and was working part-time selling shoes at Nike and part-time at an education technology startup. So after about 8 months of that, I landed a job in Maryland at the Department of Natural Resources, and all the while just kind of coaching itch was in the back of my head. I was still training and I was still competing, and I was really craving being in that athletic environment. So I was looking for opportunities to stay around sports, and ultimately my major and my job at the time kind of felt more like a hobby, and I wanted to pursue athletics in some way. So I actually picked up and moved back to Boston and was interning at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning in Massachusetts. I ended up getting a job there, and so I was coaching strength and conditioning and javelin as well, and all the while I was kind of realizing that if I wanted to take my career further in that field, that I needed a degree in that field. So I applied to Springfield College, which was a big name in exercise science, and I moved out there in the fall of 2017 to pursue my master's of science, which I got just about a year ago. And I truly believe that all things kind of come around. So when I was at MBSC coaching, two guys from MIT who had this kind of passion project came up to the gym to present their camera velocity-based training system. And so for those, you know, who might not know, velocity-based training is basically a way to quantify bar speed in the weight room instead of the load on the barbell. So they had this camera system, which was unique. Usually you attach essentially like a tether to the bar. So this was unique and kind of seamless to integrate in the weight room setting. So what's crazy, so they presented at MBSC, and then about 6 months after that, I was actually using a prototype of their camera, which the company's called Perch. So I was using a prototype of their camera when I was training at Boston University. And then in July of 2019, so right after I graduated from grad school, I actually started working full-time for Perch as the head of sports science. So we're a smaller team, so I handle a lot of the marketing and communication side of things as well, and some other business development facets. I get to use this awesome device in my own training. And as I'm getting older, as you mentioned, I definitely can feel the effects of a workout long after. So velocity-based training just allows you to train with a little bit more precision. So it kind of adheres to your nervous system capabilities on any given day based on the force you're able to produce, essentially. So we're growing fast, and we've got some big name clients like LSU football, which was huge this year, obviously, and then the Phillies and the New York Giants, et cetera. So I'm really lucky I get to do something that incorporates a lot of these different skill sets. And it's a super dynamic work environment, and we're constantly learning on the fly and kind of putting out a great product where it's needed. Plus my bosses are really flexible with my training schedule, and it's been a lot of fun to be part of something like this. I'm pretty excited, pretty stoked about it.
So this answer might kind of answer itself, but obviously not the major that you studied at UVM, but you're working in a field that you've been a part of your entire life. How much of your life as an athlete and then a student athlete influenced you to get into this field?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So when I was at UVM, I think that I remember sitting down my freshman year, I think before my freshman year, and saying to myself, at the time I was a state champion in javelin for Massachusetts. I really wanted, this was an opportunity to compete at a Division I level. I had a scholarship, which was something I guess I'd never really imagined that was going to happen for me. So I think kind of realizing that I was going to get out what I put into it, that was kind of a huge kind of wake-up call. So I remember sitting down freshman year and saying to myself, like, you got to try. You got to take this thing as far as you can. And so I really invested in it, and I really invested in you know, the prehab rehab side of things. So Becca Chaquette in the athletic training room at the time, she, you know, she took care of me. I still, every time I come up to Burlington, I swing by her house and I check up on her family, and you know, she's really made me feel at home up there. And then Justin Smith in the athletic performance department over there, like he was a huge mentor for me, and whether or not he knew it at the time. So I was so grateful to have these people who really invested in me and really cared about me. And then be able to take these, you know, inadvertent lessons of theirs and kind of shift it into a career path that made sense for me. So I think really, really investing myself in the process of how good I could possibly be kind of made me realize that that there are so many unturned stones in a lot of different capacities or different environments and different schools, really. So I think that you know, how can I kind of take these lessons that my coaches gave to me, and Greg Whistler obviously was my event coach at the time too, but how can I take these inadvertent lessons and turn them into a career that makes sense for me? I think that they kind of sparked this this passion in, wow, this could be something that I do for a living in me as well.
So I think a lot of people at UVM, I'm sure, remember just the fact that you came in as a freshman and were a fantastic javelin thrower from the very beginning and only got better and just kept breaking your own record. But what was tough about your college career, or what did you learn at UVM that made you not only a better athlete but a better person by the time you left?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I mean, again, it kind of goes back to what I was just saying, right? Like the care for the individual. I mean, I think like one of the reasons I chose UVM was from my first visit. Not only did it feel like home, but it felt like there was this like overall kind of community aspect to campus and to the town. And again, these coaches really cared about me as a person on top of all of that. So I think that this overwhelming sense of community, and I say this knowing full well that my very best friends in this world to this day are still my college friends. And these are people whose weddings I'm going to be in, whose weddings I'm going to officiate. You know, like I think that there was this overwhelming sense of community that really shaped who I am ultimately now. And I'm so grateful for having met all of these people as well.
So what do you think people remember about you when you're saying that you miss the sense of community, and you're obviously a big part of that, but what do you hope people at UVM remember about your time here?
Truthfully, I hope that they remember that that I was a kind human being. I mean, I think that that's kind of what it's all about, right? Like these connections you can make, this community that you can kind of foster. I did my best to make sure that I was really inundated in the athletic department there. I mean, I worked for study tables, I worked for sports information for many years as well, and so I really, really felt like I had kind of a finger on the pulse of the athletic department while I was there, and I was so grateful for that, because again, you say, I think I was a relatively good athlete while I was there, so maybe there was some notoriety that came along with that, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, the support staff knew that I cared about them, the maintenance guys, you know, like they were always out there drawing the lines for our practices too. And so I was out there and thanking them and trying to make sure that, that I felt like I was part of this community, and that, that the community knew that I cared about them, as well. So I think that was kind of, the biggest thing that I do hope people remember me for.
When you come back, what are your top places you go? Give me like your top three or five places you definitely make sure to go when you come back to Burlington, whether it's a restaurant or a place or even just somebody's house, as you mentioned.
All right. So top places I like to go when I come back to Burlington. I love the farmhouse. I mean, I think they've got awesome beers on tap. The food is really incredible. I think that's such a basic answer, and I know that, but that's fine. I really love the waterfront. Obviously, I could definitely go for a walk alongside it. And then when I was at UVM too, I was always kind of going for drives around town. Again, I think it just allowed me to feel again like I was part of the place, part of the community. So I had a secret spot over over near Shelburne that I won't disclose, but it's like a very beautiful covered bridge that's right along the lakeside, and that's my favorite little drive to go on. And then there's also obviously the scenic overlook on Spear Street is super nice as well. It's a great place to catch a sunset.
All right, well, now I'm going to be on a hunt for a covered bridge somewhere one of these days. I'll have to see if I can track it down and show it off a little bit. So I feel like your role and the new job that you've taken on has kind of put you into a coaching role in some way. But what kind of advice would you give to young student athletes, whether they're at UVM or anywhere else in the country, or even just in high school trying to compete at the college or professional level?
Yeah, that's a tough question, and it feels like such like a for this to come out of my mouth now, it feels like such a condescending kind of old person remark. But I think, I mean, ultimately, like be patient and take your time with it and really enjoy it. And that's really it. And you get one college experience, so kind of suck the marrow out of it and understand. And I'm grateful that, you know, 18-year-old me had the foresight to think about this. But I really did sit down and write a list of what I wanted to get out of my college experience, and it really incorporated a lot of the again kind of relationship aspects and community aspects, and then also the athletic side of things too. Like I knew what I wanted to accomplish coming in, and I'm grateful that I really got that I got pretty close to accomplishing all of that. So I think that, I mean, understand what you're about. I mean, set your goals and just enjoy it one day at a time, and then it goes by really freaking quick.
So after college, you've had the opportunity to compete professionally with USA Track and Field. Can you tell us a little bit about the professional level and how different it is from competing at college?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think competing at a professional level in track and field is really unique. So there's really, you know, USA Track and Field is our governing body, and there's individual clubs, but there's no real kind of like leagues or salaries. So unless you have like a shoe deal, or you know, among the top, you know, three in the U.S., you don't really get to see a paycheck necessarily. So when we say professional in this, like it's like I've won prize money here and there, which has been great. You know, I've gotten free products, kind of in an effort to support me. But it's really a total grind. So I think I've been really fortunate to again coach and be surrounded by coaches. So I've been really lucky enough to meet some of my best friends post college who are now my coaches as well. So Scott Drudakis at Movement is Medicine. She's kind of my movement body guy. And then Jill Zeller, she's now at USC. She's my strength coach. And then Brenner Abbott at Harvard is my event coach. So I get to train at Harvard. I get to you know, communicate with these coaches, and they don't ask for anything, which is absolutely insane to me. So I don't know that anything I can ever do will be able to repay their generosity. But all I can do is kind of try my best on the day to day and be unendingly grateful, and then try to pay it forward. So I think how, you know, competing professionally as a javelin thrower post-collegiately differs from college is you really, like if I had not, you know, formed these relationships, if these people had not kind of given me their time and attention, I don't necessarily know how easy it would be. I think that it would be really, really challenging. In college, you have these resources at your fingertips, and you really don't have those once you leave. So I think it's been different in that, you know, you have to kind of claw to create that, and then it's been different in that this is not something that I have to do. This is something that I want to do, and it's something that I invest, you know, however many 20 plus hours a week into actually physically training. And that, you know, everyone says it all the time, right? But you know, I don't go out for drinks after work. I don't, you know, casually work out. You know, it's like it's a very kind of rigid schedule that you have to adhere to. And being an individual athlete, it's even more interesting because you really, it's you, and it's you all the time. So you better like yourself, and you better love what you're doing. So I think that that's kind of how it differs primarily from the collegiate setting, is that I really had to, I guess, kind of understand how important it is to me as an individual, and what I wanted to get out of it and achieve from it. And man, some days I really, really miss my team, that's for sure.
Have you connected with anyone younger than you as far as them coming out of college into the professional level? Is that kind of, is it a rotating cycle of people keep helping each other, or does it kind of feel like it's a total individual sport and this is you and this is your team from there?
No, absolutely connected with people, and it's funny. Over at Harvard, there's quite a few post-collegiate athletes who all kind of train there, and you know, we all meet up and say, "Oh, how you doing? How's work? How's this? How's that?" And we kind of gripe about decisions, whatever international governing bodies are making, and blah, blah, blah. So I think that there is a community within this individual sport that is so important. And in fact, this past year, I was hurt last season, so I really didn't have a great season, but I kind of reframed what was going to be my priority through the season, and ended up making some really, really close connections with other female javelin throwers in the country. And, you know, we're all part of this, this community now, and we all, chat here and there. And I think that kind of having this understanding of there's actual Olympians in this country who are working full-time jobs and training full-time, and they're trying to make another team. And it's been great to be part of that community because we really understand each other. So yes, very individual sport, very unique like that, but there is still kind of this underlying tone of community throughout it.
What are your goals right now as far as competing professionally? Where do you hope to be a year or a couple of years from now?
That's a great question, and it's a hard one right now. So obviously, I competed in the 2016 Olympic trials, didn't go super well, but, kind of recalibrated and reset my sights on 2020. obviously that was postponed and in the interest of public health, which I'm all for. And, we had a lot of conversations with USATF and, USOC, kind of leading up to it, the decision as well. So definitely they made the right decision on that one. But now it's kind of, all of us are in this kind of limbo phase where, we're not really training with any consistency or with any kind of, equipment really. And we're all kind of figuring out, what the next move is. So, I mean, larger goal, I would definitely like to pursue, and see this Olympic run through to the end. Even though, bumped a year later, but I do think that that's kind of, that's where my timetable right now is looking like it's stopping. So I don't know that I would continue after this next cycle. This is kind of the only one I'm focused on right now.
What are you doing at home? Like, what would be your recommendations for home workouts right now, or doing individual stuff when you don't have a lot of equipment? What's the big secret to staying fit and getting, or still reaching those goals, whether you're an athlete or just a normal person?
Yeah, you can't see me right now, so you don't know that I'm maybe not as fit as I should be, but I will answer this anyway. I do a lot of what's called mid-range isometric contractions. So anyone who knows anything about sports science understands that there's really only two ways to get stronger. One of them is to increase the amount of motor units that are firing at any given moment, and the other is to increase the rate of firing. So this whole idea behind velocity-based training is to really increase the rate of firing. And then the concept behind mid-range, like isometric contraction, is to increase the amount of muscle fibers that are firing at any given moment. So basically you need a big piece of rope or strap or something, and you just kind of drive into specific positions for really, really long isometric holds at like a very high intensity. So I think that's a hard thing to kind of describe over a podcast, but that's definitely, I incorporate that a couple of times a week. I do during kind of quieter hours, sneak off to the track and get some sprint workouts in, just to stay on top of that. And then it's a lot of, I luckily have a single kettlebell, so I do a lot of kind of kettlebell circuits and just try to keep my body moving and keep feeling comfortable being uncomfortable and just keep kind of making sure that when I'm ready, I don't, when the time comes, I don't have to get ready because I've stayed relatively ready.
So what about outside of working out? What kind of recommendations do you have to kill time, whether it's books or movies? Could be about how to stay healthy, could be about just something to enjoy while you're sitting around the house.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, I work for a startup, so I can work, 12 hours a day if I so choose. So I think it's been kind of forcing me to find healthy boundaries, especially because there really is no physical boundary between work and home at this point. So kind of adjusting to the working from home has been interesting. I definitely, put a greater effort on cooking food, which has been good. And then I do think it's been really interesting. I've connected with people who I haven't spoken to in months or years, at least not like face to face, simply because everyone's kind of reaching out and asking for these Zoom dates. So I do think kind of, going through your, I guess, virtual Rolodex and figuring out kind of, who would be worth to reconnect with has been cool. Cause I do think that, again, through these conversations, you might be able to tell now I'm big on community and connection and these relationships. So I do think that this has kind of allowed us this kind of breather to reconnect with people who we may not have been connected with for a while. And then on top of that, I mean, I'm still obviously staying in touch with my family and then my close friends as well. So it's definitely weird because it's all virtual, and I'm a kind of mobile person. So I've been relatively antsy, feeling a little bit more sedentary than usual, but I do think that kind of shifting that focus and reconfiguring what normal looks like has been challenging but important to do during this time.
Anything you want to get into Catamount Country before we wrap up?
Yeah, I appreciate your time, and hope everyone up there is doing well and staying safe. And I there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my javelin career over at UVM. I'm so grateful for the opportunity and for the people I met and for the 4 years I had at UVM. So it was a great time, and again, gave me some of the best memories and some of the best friends and relationships that I get to maintain to this day. So super happy to be part of the Catamount Country.
That wraps us up here on Catamount Insider with Nico Ouellette. Thanks so much to her for, of course, coming on the show. And we will be back next week with some more alumni interviews. Thanks so much for listening. Everyone stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon.